إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid, and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves, and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil actions. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah wills to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أشهدُ أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partner. وأشهدُ أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. And I also bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the worship of Allah and His final messenger. أيها العباد, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered us to avoid everything which angers Him and to do everything which pleases Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered us to establish the obligations and to stay away from the prohibitions. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, and whatever the Sharia has legislated upon the Muslim, is to rush and be quick to fulfill those commandments according to one's ability. And everything which the Prophet and the Sharia has forbidden us from doing, then we have to avoid it. As Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And whatever He forbids you from, stay away from it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Because Allah is severe in His punishment. So whoever shows obedience to Allah and His Messenger, he enters into Jannah. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he enters into the fire. And this is why the messengers, they were sent to the nations, to convey the message and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, and to be witnesses over the people. Inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan shahidan alaykum. Allah said, verily, we have sent to you a messenger, shahidan, he is a witness over you. And after this, ayyuhal ibad, verily, the most severe of sins, it is al-kufr, to disbelieve and to reject. To reject the one who created you. To reject the one who has sustained you. To reject the one who has bestowed upon you many of his blessings. And ash-shirk, that you ascribe partners to him in al-ibadah. So a person supplicates to other than Allah and slaughters an animal in the name of somebody else besides Allah, and takes an oath or a qasam by somebody else besides Allah. This sin, ash-shirk, this is the sin which Allah does not forgive. And this is the sin which ensures the person remains in Jahannam forever, for eternity. Unless the person, he makes tawbah before he dies, and he leaves his shirk, and he leaves the kufr, and he enters into Islam one more time. Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Verily, Allah does not forgive for shirk to be committed. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. However, He forgives anything which is less than shirk for whoever He wills. And the Muslim is not a person who is deceived and deluded by his own self, by how practicing he is, or by how righteous he is, thinking that he or she will never fall into shirk, and will never fall into kufr, never fall into nifaq, into hypocrisy. Because every person has been created weak, as Allah described the humans, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Verily, man has been created weak, and nobody amongst us is able to guarantee his place in Jannah. So every person amongst us has to always be fearful over himself, especially in a time in which there is confusion and there is tribulations and there are fitan. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim regarding a time which will come in the future. The Prophet said, Badiru bil a'mal, be quick to do righteous deeds. Fitanan kaqita'i al-layl al-muzlim. Before a time comes in which these fitan, this confusion and these tests will come over you like the darkest of nights. Meaning it will totally cover everybody and nobody will be able to see. So do as many righteous actions you can do before this time comes. What will happen in this time? يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنٍ. That a man, he will wake up in the morning and he is a believer. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. But when the evening has come, he has left al-Islam and he is a kafir. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. And a time will come in which in the evening he will be a believer. وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And by the morning he will have left al-Islam. He will be a kafir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يُبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعِرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. This person who will sell his religion just for a worldly benefit. And take a lesson. Contemplate the example of the best of creation, the best of people after the prophets and the messengers. Those people who are the most pious, the most fearful, the most knowing, the most knowledgeable, the most pure, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom nobody else has ever compared to, and nobody else will ever compare to until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in his Sahih, he mentioned a chapter, and the title of this chapter, he said, خَوْفُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَحْبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ لَا يَشْعُرُ. Chapter, the actions of a person will all be lost, will be invalid, and he has not realized. In this chapter, he mentioned the narration of Ibn Abi Mulayka. And Ibn Abi Mulayka was from the famous Tabi'een, meaning he met many of the companions. Ibn Abi Mulayka said, أَدْرَكْتُ ثَلَاثِينَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ. I met 30 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. كُلُّهُمْ يَخَافُ النِّفَاقَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And every single one feared nifaq, hypocrisy in his own self. So look at this blessed generation. أَتْقَى الْقُلُوبِ. The most pious of hearts. وَأَعْلَمَ الْعُقُولِ. And the most knowing of minds. Sahabatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Minhum man mata shahidan. Amongst them are those who were martyred in the way of Allah. Wa minhum man basharahu an-nabiyyu bil jannah. And amongst them are those whom the Prophet gave the glad tidings to, al jannah. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah was pleased with them. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. And yet despite all of this, every single one, he fears hypocrisy upon himself. So this is the difference between a mu'min and a munafiq. This is the difference between a believer, a true Muslim, and a person of hypocrisy. The true believer, the mu'min, he does righteous deeds. And he's quick to do righteous deeds. But at the same time, he is fearful. And he's scared that these deeds will not be accepted from him. And as for the munafiq, then he doesn't do righteous deeds. Rather, the only thing which the munafiq has with him is evil. Evil deeds. And yet, despite this, he feels safe in himself and safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayyuhal mu'min, O believer, don't allow yourself to deceive yourself. Don't be deluded by yourself. Regardless of how high your rank is in knowledge or worship, righteous actions, or how much da'wah you do, then don't allow yourself to deceive yourself. And this is how Allah described the mu'mineen. In Suratul Mu'mineen, in the surah which he called Suratul Mu'mineen, he said, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا. Those people, meaning the believers, they give what they give. They give in charity, they do righteous deed, they pray the salawat. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً. But at the same time, their hearts are trembling. Their hearts are fearful. Why? أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Because they return back to their Lord. Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. These mu'minun, they are the ones who are quick to do the righteous deeds. وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. And they are the first to do the righteous deeds. But at the same time, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً. Their hearts are fearful. Their hearts are always trembling. that perhaps this action will not be accepted from them. Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, when she heard this ayah, she said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلًا. Allah said, those people who do what they do and their hearts are trembling. أَهُوَ الَّذِي يَسْرِقْ. Is this regarding the one who was stealing? وَيَزْنِي. And the one who was committing adultery. وَيَشْرَبُ الْخَمَرْ. And the one who is drinking alcohol. وَهُوَ يَخَافُ اللَّهِ. And then he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this ayah regarding them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La ya bint Abi Bakr. He said, No, O daughter of Abi Bakr. Ya bint as-siddiq. No, O daughter of as-siddiq. Walakinnahu alladhi yusalli. He is the one who prays. Wa yasum. And he fasts. Wa yatasaddaq. And he gives in charity. Wa huwa yakhafu Allah azza wa jal. And yet he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, he compared between the mu'min and the munafiq. He said, al-mu'minu la yajma'u bayna al-ihsani wa shafaqa. The believer, he combines between doing good deeds and being fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa amma al-munafiq, and as for the munafiq, yajma'u bayna al-isa'ati wal-amana. The munafiq, the hypocrite, he combines between doing evil deeds and at the same time feeling safe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being confident from the punishment of Allah jalla sha'nu. So the true believer, he does righteous deeds and he's quick to do righteous deeds, and at the same time he's fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true believer, he looks at his actions and he belittles his righteous actions. The true believer, he looks at his sins and he magnifies his sins. And this outlook in life, this keeps a person humble. Humble in front of Allah and humble in front of the people. All of you here, you know of the many virtues and the merits of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So he was from those 10 people who were given the glad tidings of paradise in their lifetime. Khalifatu Khalifati Rasulillah. He is the Khalifa of the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We as Muslims, we have been ordered to follow his way. We have been ordered to follow his sunnah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِقْتَدَوْ بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Follow those two who will come after me. A. Abi Bakr wa Umar. And he is the one who gave half of his wealth and half of his property in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His iman and his truthfulness, it was so strong that if he was walking on a particular path, the shaitan and the jinn would flee away from him. He is the one regarding whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inna Allah ja'ala al-haqqa ala lisani Umar wa qalbihi. Verily Allah has made the truth upon the tongue of Umar, and Allah has made the truth in the heart of Umar. In fact, even before Umar ibn al-Khattab became a Muslim, when he was a non-Muslim, from the Quraysh, from the Mushrikun, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua to Allah. He would say, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab. O Allah, give honor and victory to Islam through Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. One day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he revealed the names of the munafiqeen in al-Madinah. Those people who showed Islam on the outside, but inside them they were hiding kufr and nifaq and hatred for al-Islam. So nobody could tell who these people were, because on the outside they are Muslims, they are believers. On the inside they are munafiqun. Nobody knew who these were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the names of each munafiq in al-Madinah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not tell anybody. The only person he told was a companion called Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman. And Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, he is the keeper of the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he did not tell the names of the hypocrites to anybody else. It is mentioned that when the companions found out that Hudhayfah radiallahu anhu was informed of the names of the hypocrites of al-Madinah, the first who came to him was Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he said, سَأَلْتُكَ بِاللَّهِ. I ask you by Allah, هَلْ ذَكَرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ. Did the Messenger of Allah mention my name amongst the companions, amongst the munafiqun, amongst the hypocrites? So look at Iman, look at At-Taqwa, look at humbleness, look at the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how and the effect it should have upon a person. That this man Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second who was given the glad tidings to Jannah, he made hijrah to Medina, he gave half of his wealth in the way of Allah, he fought jihad fi sabilillah, he accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet he was the first to come to Hudhayfah ibn al-Yamman, asking him, did the Prophet mention my name amongst the hypocrites? And ya subhanallah, in our time today, you find some people, some youth, they haven't memorized anything from the Quran, and they haven't learned anything from knowledge, and they hardly ever give in charity. In fact, you never see them in the masajid. And if they come to the Jum'ah, subhanallah, the last to enter and the first to leave. No dhikr, no nawafil, no sunan. Talks about the ulama, talks about the tulab al-ilm, talks about the imams, talks about every other person. It's as if he sees himself the best of the people, the most righteous of people, the most knowledgeable people, as if his seat and his place in Jannah is guaranteed for him. So this is not the way of the believers, and this is not the way of the Salaf. Rather, this is the way of the munafiqeen. This is the way of the hypocrites. Like Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah said, Al-Mu'minu yajma'u bayn al-ihsani wa-shafaqa. The believer combines between doing many good deeds but being fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقُ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْإِسَاءَةِ وَأَمَنًا. And as for the munafiq, he's the one who combines between doing evil deeds and being feeling safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيُّهَا الْعِبَادِ. From those matters that a person should be scared of regarding himself and his family is misguidance. That perhaps a person will deviate away from the truth and deviate away from as-sirat al-mustaqim. And perhaps a person will leave at-tawheed and enter into a shirk. Look at the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to make it in his sujood. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turner of the heart, make my heart firm upon the truth, upon your religion, ala al-haq, and upon the truth. And take an example, contemplate the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he is Abu al-Anbiya, the father of all of the prophets, Imam al-Muwahideen, the Imam of the people of At-Tawheed. He is the one who was punished by the fire because of his victory to At-Tawheed. He is Khalilullah, he is the most beloved friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who destroyed the idols with his own two blessed hands. And he is the one who built the Kaaba with his own two blessed hands. He is the one who faced much difficulty and punishment from the people in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet, he makes the dua, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Allah, save me and my children from ever worshipping the idols. Ya subhanallah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abu al-Anbiya, the father of the prophets and the messengers, Imam al-Muwahideen, the Imam of the people of At-Tawheed. And what is his dua? Save me and my children from ever worshipping the idols. The one who destroyed the idols with his own two hands. The one who was given the miracles and the signs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامِ. Save me and my children from ever worshipping the idols. وَيَا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. And today, just because we are born in a Muslim family, me and you, we think we are safe from ever falling into shirk and safe from misguidance. We never studied Tawheed. We never called to Tawheed. We never studied and understood the evidences of At-Tawheed. We don't know the doubts of the people of Ash-Shirk. We live in a place and in a time in which around us is Kufr, and around us is Shirk, around us is atheism, around us is misguidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet despite this, we feel safe from ever falling into misguidance, as if our seat in Jannah has been guaranteed. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامِ. O Allah, save me and my children from ever worshipping the idols. Ask yourself a question, me and you. How many times have you made dua to Allah to save you from a shirk and save your children from worshipping the idols? The Salaf, they used to say, وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَىٰ بَعْدَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Who can ever feel safe from this calamity after Ibrahim alayhi salam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أيها العباد. It isn't hidden from anybody amongst you the importance of manners and etiquettes in our religion. How many ayat, how many ahadith remind us of the correct etiquettes and the correct manners which we should have in this great religion. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to perfect the noble manners. My main message is to perfect the noble manners. And when we talk about manners and etiquettes, they aren't restricted to how we deal with each other. Mostly when people hear the word good manners and good etiquettes, they think about how we should deal and interact with each other. Rather, Islam has legislated manners and etiquettes in every situation. So in Islam, there are etiquettes for your houses, and there are etiquettes for the marketplaces, and there are etiquettes when dealing with the elders, and there are etiquettes when dealing with the youth, and there are etiquettes in dealing with the people of knowledge, the imams of the masajid. There are etiquettes with dealing with the non-Muslims. There are even etiquettes when you enter the bathroom, etiquettes when you leave the bathroom, etiquettes when you are alone and nobody else is in your house when you are alone. There are etiquettes and adab, akhlaq, which we have to fulfill. And there are also etiquettes when it comes to the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has legislated certain etiquettes and certain manners when it comes to His house, the masjid. And all of us, we have to adorn ourselves when we enter these blessed places. The etiquettes which are linked to the masjid, some of them relate to how you enter the masjid. And some of them relate to when you are sitting in the masjid. And some of them relate to when you are leaving the masjid. And that which we want to focus on right now is the etiquettes of leaving the masjid. Because this is a mistake that many of us, we fall into. Especially after Salatul Jum'ah. Especially after Salatul Jum'ah. And especially us, the youth, the young ones, we fall into these mistakes. So many of us, immediately after At-Taslim, we stand up and we start leaving the masjid. And this causes congestion, it causes noise, voices are raised, people who are praying are disturbed and annoyed. And as for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, then they never ever did this action. The Prophet and the companions, they never used to stand up straight after the taslim and rush towards the door. And by Allah, we never saw this from our ulama. So if we want to be Ahlul Hadith, and we want to be Ahlul Sunnah, and we want to be those people who follow the way of the Salaf in truth, then we have to follow them in these etiquettes and these manners. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, after the salah, they would remain sitting in the same place in which they finished the salah. Remain sitting there. And then they would make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tasbih, at-tahmid, at-takbir, al-istighfar, ayatul kursi, surat al-nas, surat al-falaq, surat al-ikhlas, and the other types of adhkar. And then sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray the sunan prayers inside the masjid. And sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray the sunnah prayers at home. And if the Prophet prayed the nafal or the sunnah prayer inside the masjid, then they would change the place. Meaning, if they were sitting somewhere and they made their dhikr, when it came to reading the sunnah prayer, then they would go to another part of the masjid. And then when leaving with in a calm manner, with a low voice, not disturbing other people. In fact, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, it is narrated that one day he saw two men inside the masjid and they were talking with a raised voice, but they were not from the people of Al-Madinah. So he came out and he said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَلَدِ لَأَوْجَعْتُكُمَا ضَرْبًا. That if you two were from the people of Madinah, by now I would have whipped both of you. That you raise your voice in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this which occurs today in the masajid, after Jum'ah from many of the youth, this is in contradiction to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That straight after the taslim of the imam on Yawmul Jum'ah, the people and the youth, they stand up and they start rushing towards the door. No dhikr, no salah, no sunan. On top of this disturbance, talking, raising of voices, this isn't the manhaj of the salaf. This isn't the methodology of the salaf. Of course, unless there is a person whose time is restricted because of work, so he only has a short amount of time. This person, if he finds 5 minutes to pray the sunan of Salatul Jum'ah, he does so. And then he quietly leaves the masjid. If he doesn't find the time, then he leaves the masjid, but leaves calmly and lowering his voice. And then he goes to work. The problem is with the youth who, as soon as the taslim is made, without dhikr, without salah, without anything, they leave for the doors. And then on top of this, you see them standing outside for half an hour, for 40 minutes. This is not the manhaj of the Salaf. This is not the way of the Prophet and his companions and the Salaf. In fact, some of the ulama have mentioned that how you are after the Salah is an indicator of whether your Salah is being accepted by Allah or not. So the person who follows the Sunnah of the Prophet after the Salah, this is a sign that his Salah has been accepted by Allah. And the person who goes against the Sunnah of the Prophet, like these people do, and some, all of us fall into this, then this may be an indicator that your salah has not been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا وَصَلُّوا وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَى مَنْ أُمِرْتُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَيْهِ الْقَائِلْ مَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً وَاحِدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا عَشْرًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ارض عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة الأكرمين. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين. اللهم دمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح ذات بيننا وألف بين قلوبنا واهدنا سبل السلام. اللهم اعصمنا من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الكفر. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الشرك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النفاق. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر، لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمسلمين والمسلمات وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم، وأقم الصلاة.